Okay, welcome back to another installment of our Tefillah Fundamental series. As you have noticed, we switched the time to 9 o'clock to accommodate those who are davening Mincha Ma'ariv. The hope was that it would be able to allow more people to come without scaring off or confusing people who are regulars, so looks like it was a success. It looks like everyone who was supposed to be here is here, and we have some new people that I haven't seen before here, so welcome. They tell a story about a Chashev Arav who arrives at the pearly gates of heaven. And he's a little nervous, you know, he thinks of himself as a successful person during his life, a religious person. And he's waiting online for his turn at the pearly gates, and he's looking around at who's in front of him. And he notices the person right in front of him is someone who's not even religious. Waiting online to get into the gates of Shemayim is a man who looks like he's a secular Israeli. So, the rabbi's waiting his turn, and it's the person in front, it's the secular Israeli turn. And the angels look over his rap sheet and they say, all right, please go on into heaven. And the rabbi thinks to himself, that's it, I'm in. If this guy's in, I'm a lock. The rabbi goes and he says, yeah, I'm Rabbi Rosenstein. And they say, Rosenstein. Sorry, rabbi, you're going to have to go down for a little bit. He says, what? What do you mean? He says, that's how it works. We look at your sheet and you have to go down for a little bit. He says, but that's not fair. The guy in front of me wasn't even religious. And I'm a rabbi, a religious leader. Tell me, what did that guy do for a living? And they said, oh, he was a cab driver in Israel. He says, that guy's a cab driver in Israel and he gets to go in? Do you know, I was a very respected rabbi, giving very inspiring lectures, bringing the people closer to God. And it wasn't just my lectures. I was about tefillah, for Yom Narayim, inspiring people with amazing tunes, bringing them closer to God through prayer. What does that cab driver have that I don't? And the angels say, listen, Rabbi, the truth is that when you gave your sermons, people fell asleep. And when you led the prayers, people rolled their eyes and they checked their watches. But when that guy drove, everyone prayed. This is the hard part of giving shiurim on Zoom. I can see you laughing. Maybe I should just turn off mute for the punchlines. So tonight, what I'd like to do is to take tefillah out of the shuls and to bring them to the cabs, to bring tefillah out to the streets. The shiur is called, If Only We Could Daven All Day Long. In the past, we've been talking about this idea of tefillah as a relationship with Hashem. And most recently, last week, we spoke about that even when prayers are not answered in the way that we want, when Hashem seems to say no, He is still responding to us. There is still a relationship being built, regardless of what the answer is. And that's the main goal of tefillah, just to have the relationship to talk to Hashem when we need something. And we noted at the end of last year that wouldn't it be amazing if it wasn't only limited to 3 times a day? We're only talking to Hashem a couple, 2 if we daven Mincha Ma'ariv together. Wouldn't it be amazing if there were more opportunities to talk to Hashem throughout the day? What if we could talk to Hashem not only in shul, but in the cab, or on the streets, wherever we go, if we can talk to Hashem? The title of the shiur comes from a Gemara in Brachos, in source number 1. The Gemara says, "Valuai she yispal adam kol yom kulo." If only a person could daven all day long. If only. The Gemara's context is talking about a person who's not sure if they davened yet. So the Gemara says, daven again, what's the big deal? If only a person could daven all day long, the better. In source number 2, the Akedas Yitzchak is a commentary on Chumash written in the 1400s, and he writes, the benefit of this would be that a person can strengthen the relationship with Hashem, the love he has for Hashem, and to have dveikus, an all-time connection with Hashem, if he's davening all day long. So it sounds great! However, in source number 3, Chazal expressed that it's not so easy. Real life cannot go on if we're constantly davening the entire time. In source number 4, the Gemara in Brachos notes that the righteous people of old used to daven for an hour, and before that they would prep for an hour, and after they were done they would meditate for an hour. 3 times a day, 9 hours a day spent in tefillah. And the Gemara says, if not for the fact that they were exceptionally righteous people, how can they get their work done? Why would they have time to learn Torah? For regular people, it's not possible. Alas, if only we could daven all day long. However, but wait, I don't mean to pull up my infomercial imitation, but wait, you can. There is a way that we can daven all day long. We can have this connection with Hashem, to have a dialogue, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long. I'm going to tell you now the secret. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, how to bring our relationship with Hashem into the cabs, how to bring it outside of shul, outside of our sitter, outside of our formal 3 times of davening a day. And I'm talking about brachos, brachos that we make throughout the entire day. Now, brachos, we don't think of that as a tefillah. There's tefillah, there's davening, and then there's brachos that we mumble before we eat. I know I do. But in reality, a bracha is just another example of a tefillah. A bracha is baruch atah. We're not just saying, thank God for this. You! We're talking to Hashem in second person. Every bracha is another conversation, another dialogue, where we directly address Hashem. The Gemara Menachos in source number 5 says, a person is obligated to make 100 brachos a day. Most of which come out about 57, 19 times 3, during Shemona Esrei. But there are many throughout the day that have nothing to do with that, nothing to do with formal tefillah. And the Gemara learns the obligation to make 100 brachos a day from the Pasuk and Parshas Ekev. The Pasuk says, V'yata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What does God really ask of you? Kiyam Liyaraas Hashem, to fear Hashem. So Chazal Darshan, Chazal say that the word Ma can be read as the word Meya. So the Pasuk is really saying, Moshe tells B'nai Yisrael, Meya Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. Really, 100 God asks of you. Why? In order to fear Him. Making 100 brachos a day is a way to fear Hashem. If we make 100 brachos a day, we'll have Yirah Shemayim. What does that mean? How does making brachos lead to having Yirah Shemayim? So in source number 7, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, in that Pasuk in Ekev, explains that we kind of mistranslate the words Yirah Hashem. We think of it as fear, shaking, anxiety. So that's part of it, it's true. But the root of the word Yirah means to see, to physically notice. The purpose of Yiras Hashem, Rav Hirsch explains, is to envision Hashem in front of us, as if we are in His presence. Now, naturally, that would come with some anxiety. If we really felt, noticed we were standing in Hashem's presence, it would make us a little nervous. So there is some anxiety to Yiras Hashemayim. But the root of the Midah, the root of what we're trying to accomplish, is to see Hashem. If that's the case, it's very easy to understand why brachos are the way to achieve that. The Pasuk says, Me'ah Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. 100 God asks of you, Kiyam Liyaraas Hashem, because that will lead to seeing Hashem. If throughout our entire day, we are making brachos with the realization that it's not just mumbo-jumbo or heebie-jeebie incantations, but we're actually talking to Hashem when we pick up a food, when we go to bed at night, we're always mentioning Hashem in the second person, that's a way to have Yiras Hashem, to see Hashem, to really feel that we're in His presence. In Shulchan Aruch, in source number 8, Shulchan Aruch writes, a person's obligated to make at least 100 brachos a day. Why not more? But at least 100 brachos a day. And in source number 9, Mishnah Berurah explains exactly how we accomplish that. Much more than 100 brachos a day. You wake up in the morning, you say, Moda Ani, you're addressing Hashem and thanking Hashem. Thank Berachas HaShachar in the morning, we thank Hashem for all of our bodily functions. We thank that the world exists and that our bodies are functioning well. We say Asher Yatzar after we come out of the bathroom, that our body is working the way it's supposed to. We wash our hands, we say a bracha before we eat, after we eat. Tefillas HaDerech, we go in the cab. Wherever we are, there's always an opportunity to make a bracha. Not only in shul, not only holding a sitter. We're talking to Hashem, we're having Yiras Hashem, that relationship where we are physically addressing Hashem as if He's right in front of us. All day long. If only we could talk to Hashem all day long. We can. We can talk to Hashem all day long. We could daven all day long if we realize that brachos are that opportunity to have tefillah throughout the day. Sprinkled here. And you know what? It's not something extra we have to do. Because we're making these brachos anyway. We're saying it anyway. We've already been trained. Thank God if those who are lucky to have a Jewish education have it ingrained to say Asher Yatzar after going to the bathroom. If you're in an office, maybe you hide your lips so no one should see you muttering things after going to the bathroom. Maybe they'll think you're weird. But we're so used to it. This is what we do. We make a bracha, and we're doing it anyway. So what if we can just shift our perspective? It's not just something we say, but it's a chance for tefillah 100 times a day. We really could talk to Hashem, daven to Hashem 100 times a day. So that's step one. Step one is that these brachos that we say throughout the day are a way to talk to Hashem with many opportunities already built in to what we're doing anyway. A second step to take it is that there's actually much deeper meaning in these brachos than we realize. In each of these brachos, the words that we're saying are not limited to the reason we're giving thanks in front of us. I'd like to go through 3 examples tonight of brachos that we say all the time. And in each one, to notice something more deep, something that we're saying more than just thanking Hashem for the gratitude in front of us. Let's take Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar we say 5, 6... depending on your age, I guess, 20 times a day. So Asher Yatzar is something that's ingrained in us from a very young age. But in reality, Asher Yatzar is not only thanking Hashem, talking to Him, thanking Him, praising Him for about the bodily functions of going to the bathroom. The Gemara in Brachos in source number 10 gives us the text of Asher Yatzar, which we're all familiar with, and it ends off at the end of source number 10, Rofecho Basar Umafli La'asos. Hashem is the healer of all flesh, and He creates a wonder with our bodies. Our bodies are a wondrous thing. What's the wonder? It's not just going to the bathroom. It's look in source number 11 and source number 12 in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that the real mafli, the real wonder of the human body, is that Hashem puts a neshama and a guf together, and they're able to coexist. The neshama is able to exist in a physical world. The physical world is able to sustain the neshama in some way. It's an amazing thing, and it's not just about going to the bathroom. In any way that our body is functioning well, in any way we have a tefillah for health, we don't only have a chance to talk to Hashem three times a day in Rifa'enu for health. Add six more for Asher Yetzer. It's another six times a day we're praising Hashem not just for going to the bathroom. If you look at Asher Yetzer, the text is not limited to that one example. It's much more broad. The words imply that we're talking to Hashem about the body as a whole, to our health as a whole. If someone is sick, there's an opportunity to daven to Hashem more than just three times. You could daven 10 times a day if you have that kavanah during Asher Yetzer. When I think of this idea, I think of my favorite bar mitzvah gift. Now, it's not a check, in case you were wondering. It is this book over here. This book is called Just One Word, about the word Amen and Brachos, by Esther Stern. Now, this was my favorite bar mitzvah gift, not only because there was a nice check inside, which there was, but also because the book has amazing, beautiful stories that really stuck with me 15 years later. I haven't really opened this book in 15 years, but I finished it cover to cover right after I turned bar mitzvah. And a lot of these stories still stick with me, and it still helped me have certain kavanos during brachos and during parts of davening. And one of them is about Asher Yetzer. The story goes about a chassid who came to a certain rebbe, and the chassid was in dire need of a refuah for his daughter. His daughter was very ill, and the chassid wrote down on the kvittel her name, some things about her, about the illness, and wrote down that the rebbe should daven for a refuah for Yeshua. So he arrives at the Rebbe's house, he's inside the house waiting his turn, and the Rebbe's coming out of the bathroom. The Rebbe is saying the longest Asher Yetzer ever. This chassid is itching, he's so nervous, he's so eager to go over and to have the Rebbe daven for his daughter to give a bracha. And he's waiting and waiting as the Rebbe says, Chalulim, Chalulim, Galu. The guy's like tapping his foot, he's so anxious, he's waiting his turn, and finally the Rebbe ends off, Raifei, Chol, Bosar, Mafli, La, Soy. The chassid runs forward, Rebbe, I'm so happy I got a chance to speak to you, please, if you don't mind, if you could please take this kvittel and daven for my daughter, I really need a bracha for Rafua. And he says, Ay. The Rebbe says, I'm happy to give you a bracha, I'm happy to daven, but you just missed an amazing opportunity. I just said a gevaldika Asher Yetzer. With Shem Hashem in the bracha. A bracha not only about my going to the bathroom, but about Hashem, Rofei Chol Basar, Hashem heals everybody. I made a bracha for refuah. That may have been your chance for the best bracha I can give. What an amazing story to realize that Asher Yetzer is not just about one person's bodily needs. Asher Yetzer is a general bracha about refuah as a whole. We have the opportunity to talk to Hashem a dozen times a day about refuah in formal brachas that we're making anyway. So that's one example of an opportunity to talk to Hashem the entire day, and brachos that we're already saying. Let me give you a second example. This is a category of brachos, the category of brachos that we say on food. We make brachos before we eat, we make brachos after we eat, and you would think, if I was composing a bracha about after I eat, for brachas hamazon, for benching, I would say, Dear God, thanks for the food, was delicious, really appreciate it. If only benching was so short, right? Benching does not only say that. The Gemara in source number 13 says, benching must contain a praise of Eretz Yisrael. Thank Hashem for giving us the entire land. And not just that, we have to mention Malchus Beis David, Boni Yerushalayim. We have to mention Bris Mila, Torah. So many broader concepts that we talk about in benching. What is that doing there? Why are we talking about the whole world, Eretz Yisrael, every time we thank Hashem for eating a sandwich? And it's not just that. In source number 14, the Gemara says, whenever a person makes a bracha, and we know this, they have to say, Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Hashem is king of the whole universe. I'm just eating an apple. Let me thank Hashem for the apple. Maybe even the apple tree. I'm praising God as king of the whole universe? Of Saturn and Mars? I'm thanking God for creating the whole universe? I'm just eating an apple. Let me just thank God for the apple. What am I doing over here? Why are brachos including everything? Why are they including the whole world? Why are they including Eretz Yisrael, Bris Mila, Malchus Beis David? Why are so many things included in the brachos that we say that have nothing to do with Malchus Beis David or Eretz Yisrael? So I read an amazing mashal in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement in the 1800s. He says, imagine someone goes into a very fancy coffee shop. He didn't have Starbucks in his day, he couldn't even imagine. But imagine someone goes into a very fancy restaurant for a business meeting or for a date, and they sit down in one of these really high-class restaurants. And, would you like to order dessert? Yeah, I'll have a tea. So at the end, they bring the tea. At the end, they bring the bill. And the customer looks at the bill, and they charge $6 for a tea. And he says to the waitress, "How can this be? This is impossible. $6 for a tea?" She says, "Yeah, that's what we charge over here." He says, "I don't understand. Look, the cups are reusable. How much wear and tear is there for using a cup once? I don't know, 2 cents? How much does the water cost? Another 2 cents. And the gas it costs to turn on the fire to be able to boil the water? A penny. And what else do you have to do? The tea bag, 29 cents. The whole tea you can make for 35 cents. I can make tea at home for 35 cents. Why am I paying $6 at this restaurant?" And she explained, "You don't understand. If you want to go home, make your own tea, that's fine. But in this restaurant, you're not just paying for the literal ingredients, for the cup, for the fire, for the water, for the tea bag. You're paying for the ambiance. You're paying for the music playing in the background. You're paying for the lights, which are uncomfortably dim, but they're still creating a certain mood. You're paying for these tablecloths to get washed. You're paying the salaries of the people to be serving and to be cleaning up, the waitresses and the busboys and the chef and the guy in the kitchen who's washing dishes afterwards. You want to make your own tea at home, that's fine. But if you're going to come to my establishment and enjoy all the perks that come with having a tea here in this amazing upscale restaurant, you have to pay for not just the thing in front of you, but all that goes into it." Rav Yisrael Salanter explained that often we look at so narrowly and we say, "I'm just eating an apple. I'm thinking God is the king of the whole world. I don't need the whole world. I have an apple in front of me. I'll thank God for the apple, just the 29 cents that the apple actually costs itself." And Hashem says, "Look, you want to make your own apples at home? That's fine. You can make your own apples at home. But good luck doing that. When you come to my world, the apples aren't just the apples. You're paying for the sunlight. You're paying for the soil, for the rain, for the water table system, the cycle of evaporation and condensation, the clouds, photosynthesis, gravity when the apple comes down off the tree. You're not just thanking Hashem for the apple. You're thanking Hashem for the whole world. Every bracha is thanking Hashem for the whole world. You want to make your own apples? Go ahead. But if you're going to be in my restaurant, my upscale world," Hashem says, "you have to thank me for everything going on and to recognize how much Hashem is doing for us, even behind, before and after the apple. All of nature goes into making an apple. All of nature goes into having a sandwich. And we also acknowledge the purpose of eating. We eat so we can have a relationship with Hashem, so we can have that bris, so we can learn Torah, so we can have Yerushalayim, to be able to be a strong country in Eretz Yisrael. We thank Hashem for the ability to sustain us, to be able to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. That's all included. Every apple, every sandwich has so much more than just the typical ingredients that we see in our kitchen." So that's the second idea. Number one is Asher Yatzer is not just about going to the bathroom. Asher Yatzer is so much broader. We get to talk to Hashem about the body working, about health as a whole. And the dozens of brachos on food we make before and after we eat every single day, they're not just about the food in front of us. They're about nature as a whole. We're thanking God for the whole world every time we eat an apple, every time we eat a sandwich. I'd like to share one more example of how much depth, how much we're really speaking to Hashem about our needs when we make simple brachos throughout the day. And this is the bracha also on food, which we call Bari Nefashos. The Gemara in source number 15 mentions the bracha of Bari Nefashos. And we say, it's underlined in source 15, Bari Nefashos Rabos V'chesro Nun. We thank Hashem for creating people, souls, and their lacking. Chesro Nun, their chisaron. We thank Hashem for creating their lacking. What does that mean? Thanking Hashem for creating lacking? So Tosfos on the side of the page in source number 16 explain, referring to food. We're referring to thank you for creating the foods which we can't live without. We would be lacking if we didn't have them. So we have thanking Hashem for the bread and water in the universe. That's why we say Chesro Nun. But it's not the simple approach. In source number 17, the Rashba, one of the other Rishonim, in the 1300s, writes that every time we make a Bari Nefashos, we have to remember we're not really talking about the food. The Rashba writes that we're talking about ourselves. We're thanking Hashem for creating us with needs. He created us with lackings that we have to go out and get bread, we have to go out and get water. Now that seems kind of strange. We are thanking Hashem for creating us deficient? Wouldn't we be better off if we could take care of ourselves and not have to keep bothering Him? What does that mean? We're thanking Hashem for creating us lacking? This is every Bari Nefashos, V'chesro Nun. We thank Hashem for creating us with lacking. I'd like to explain this idea by going back to the very beginning, the very, very beginning, all the way back to Bereishis. We'll return to this question in just a couple of minutes. Another strange idea on this very topic is the first evil person or creature, character, villain in the history of the world. And that would be the Nachash. That would be the snake that, as history has shown, snakes are still the enemies of mankind. But also, originally, They were not good for the people, they're not good for the world. The snake caused the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And one of the curses given to the snake, Hashem says in source number 18, V'yafar tochel kol yemei chayecha. The snake is cursed to eat dust and dirt all the days of its life. So on the one hand, that sounds pretty miserable. You know, I wouldn't want to eat dirt all the days of my life. So that sounds pretty awful. But if you think about it, there's actually a hidden bracha in there. In source number 19, Chazal have an expression that Hashem really didn't curse him so bad. Because wherever the snake goes, he has his food. The snake cannot eat steaks. The snake doesn't have the ability to have a sandwich. All it can have is dust. And you know what? Dust is easy to find. It goes up to the roof, there's dust there. It goes down to the core of the earth, there's dust there. So couldn't you argue the snake kind of benefited on this one? Kind of lucked out? The snake gets whatever he needs, wherever he goes. In fact, in source number 20 and 21, Chazal and Maseches Brachos discuss the symbolism of different dreams. And they say, a snake dream, if a person has a vision of a snake in their dream, that's good news. Because a snake is a symbol of having enough parnasa, having their needs taken care of. Just like a snake has dust, dirt, wherever it goes, a person who envisions a snake will have that blessing of having whatever they need. Now, what kind of curse is that? Hashem is cursing the snake and says to it, you'll have whatever you need whenever you need it. Where do I sign up for a curse like that? That sounds great. In source 22, the Chiddushei Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, 200 years ago, asked this question. What exactly is the curse of the Nachash getting whatever it wants, whenever it needs it? And he says, we're looking at it wrong. Do you know what a bracha it is to have needs? When we say chesronam, we're thanking Hashem for our chesronos, for our deficiencies. When Hashem tells the snake, you'll have whatever you need, that's Hashem's way of saying, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you ever again. I don't want to have a relationship with you. I don't want you to ask me for things. I don't want to have to negotiate with you. You'll have your dirt. I never want to see you again. Now, in that perspective, it is a curse. What a terrible fate for the Nachash never to be able to have a relationship with Hashem. To always have what it needs wherever it goes. And in that sense, we are lucky that we have chesronos. In Borei Nefashos, we thank Hashem for creating us the chesronan and the fact that we have deficiencies because it forces us to reach out to Hashem. We're not self-sufficient. We can't just ignore him. We can't survive on our own. We need to reach out to him. We need to have a relationship with him. Source 23 is something I quoted back in the very first year of the series. If you give a kid a credit card, they never have to call. You give them a debit card or some cash, they have to come back. They have to keep coming back. They need something. They're not self-sufficient. They need. And in this sense, when we say Borei Nefashos, we're acknowledging to Hashem the greatness of the fact that we're not self-sufficient, that we have chesronos, that we have a lacking that has to be fulfilled only by talking to Hashem. This third example is not just like the first two. The first two are, Ashiyatzar has depth in it. Brachos, we say, and benching and on fruits had depth to it. This idea is not only an extra deeper meaning to Borei Nefashos. This is the very topic we're talking about tonight. This is the idea of the cab. This is the idea of davening to Hashem all day long. Borei Nefashos thanks Hashem for the opportunity to, if only we could daven all day long. Borei Nefashos is praising Hashem for that very concept. That we don't just daven three times a day. That we need Hashem every single day. That we could daven every day in the first place is an amazing thing. But we could daven all day long. By acknowledging we have to eat so many times a day. We have to go to the bathroom so many times a day. We have so many chesronos. So many opportunities built into our day already. Where we talk to Hashem. The relationship is not limited to a couple of times. The last source on the sheet is something I mentioned already last week from Rav Pinkus. This idea that when a person asks someone else for money, the goal would be to ask one time, and the giver never wants to see the guy again, and the receiver never wants to ask again. That is not how we relate to Hashem when we ask for something. We do not hope this is the last time we're asking. The goal is to keep asking. He writes, even more important than what we're asking, or whether we get it or not, most important about Tefillah, Rav Pinkus writes, is that we are asking. That we turn to Hashem. And now we're saying not just three times a day, but 100 times a day. That we have chesronos, that we have lacking, that we need so many things from Hashem, which forces us to have a relationship with Him, to reach out to Him not only in formal tefillah and shul, but even in the brachos and the tefillahs that we say on the streets, in the cabs, all over, wherever we are at work, built into our days are so many reminders. So we started off today with the Gemara and Brachos' quote, that if only we could daven all day long, wouldn't it be amazing to have a relationship with Hashem that could be maintained throughout the entire day? And the first takeaway I want to leave you with is that we spoke about, yes, brachos are that way. Brachos are the way we could daven all day long. We're saying brachos anyway. Brachos are in second person. It's a way to address Hashem directly. The second takeaway we talked about is that brachos are not just about the thing in front of us. When we make an Asher Yatzar, we're not just thanking Hashem for the bodily functions we just were able to relieve ourselves of. And not just about how body works in the right way. All of health, if someone is sick, built into our day, there's another 5-6 times for an Asher Yatzar. And brachas on food are not just limited to the apple, to the sandwich in front of us. We thank Hashem for everything, for all of nature, for the whole universe that goes into making this apple. We can't make our own apples. If we're going to be in His world, we have to thank Hashem for everything that goes into this. And all the purpose of eating, to create a relationship with Him, to have bris, to have Torah, to have Eretz Yisrael, to build a Beis HaMikdash, all of that goes into why we eat. And lastly, this idea in Bari Nefesh, as we talk about Chesed Onan, we thank Hashem for the amazing opportunity to not be like the Nachash, not be like the snake that has everything, which seems like a blessing, but in reality Hashem is shutting him out. I never want to see you again. We have needs. We have a reason to talk to Hashem so many times a day. Not just in formal tefillah, but 100 times a day in all the brachos, the mini davenings. We're very lucky that we have the opportunity to daven all day long. So hopefully with this idea, we can have this increased Yirah Shemayim, this increased seeing, noticing, envisioning ourselves in front of Hashem, to really notice Him throughout the day as we have a relationship by davening 100 times a day. Just as a preview for next week, we've been talking until now about tefillah as a personal relationship. Next week I want to take it one step further, not just the personal relationship, but the national relationship. We haven't really spoken about the extra benefit of davening as a tzibur, of davening in shul, of davening as part of a community. So please join us back next week, 9 o'clock at our new time, as we talk about davening with a minyan and davening in shul.